Hi, welcome to True Creeps, where the stories are true and the creeps are real. We'll cover stories from grotesque gore to the possibly plausible paranormal, to horrifying history, to tense and terrible true crime, and everything else that goes bump in the night. We're your hosts, Amanda,
and I'm Lindsay, and we want you to join us while we creep.
We cover mature topics. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our fifth Podiversary episode.
5 years.
That's fucking crazy. 5 years. It does not feel like we've been doing this for 5 years.
No, it really doesn't. 5 years went by way too fast, actually.
Way, way too fast. It's a fun time. And thank you so much for creeping with us for 5 years. One of the coolest things has been growing over the years. So like every year we have more listeners and just good stuff, fun stuff all around. We love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot more interactions too, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the best part of this. Happy Podiversary, Amanda.
I touched my mic. Happy Podiversary, Lindsay. As I'm like grabbing my mic. See, we still don't know how to podcast. It's been 5 years and we still do not get it. We cannot touch our mics.
No.
We can't move too much. We can't talk with our hands.
Yeah.
One day we'll get it.
Yeah. Anyway, ready to tell some stories?
Let's talk about some stories that were sent in.
Okay. So our first story today is from Liz. So I'm going to read her story as she wrote it. My mother and my aunt met me in Pennsylvania for the Forest County Bigfoot Festival.
Pennsylvania.
Did I say Pennsylvania weird?
I think so. Pennsylvania is what I heard.
Pennsylvania. What do you say?
Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania. What are you saying? How am I saying that differently?
Pennsylvania, like pencil.
Pennsylvania. Pencil. You know, like the same image meme? That's how I feel right now. Because I'm like, that's what I'm saying.
Well, listen, it could be the same. Maybe I'm, look, I can't hear either, apparently.
I do not trust my ability to necessarily enunciate words. What is the long vegetable that's kind of stringy that people put peanut butter and raisins on?
Celery?
Celery.
Yeah.
You say it?
Celery.
Celery. Mm-hmm. I'm missing a full syllable. And yet, it is, I am who I am. Anyway, I'm going to say that first line again, but we're going to leave that in. My mother and my aunt met me in Pennsylvania for the Forest County Bigfoot Festival. That broke Amanda. She had to
look at you.
But we're going to leave the first part so they'll understand why I said Pennsylvania. So
sounds like you added it in.
I know it does. So they drove from Michigan and I came from Virginia. We were able to get the same Airbnb that my mom and I got last year. So we knew the layout, knew the owners. It was like coming home. We did all the nosy things last year when you check all the rooms, all the closet, all the everything everyone does, even if they don't admit it.
Oh, everyone truly does it.
And you should. Not only should we all like admit it, be like, yeah, I'm going to look everywhere in here because you don't know what's there.
The Airbnb owners need to know that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
How many TikToks have we sent each other where there's like a hidden room with like a lock that they find? Mm-hmm.
Or they're like, this is weird. And I'm like, I don't want to find anything weird in there. Mm-mm, mm-mm. Okay, back to Liz's story. So second night there, my aunt spilled some chips. So I went to the closet where the vacuum was kept. I turned on the light. And when I moved the big old vacuum, I saw that it was not, in fact, a closet, but steps to a basement.
Oh, no.
It's just also that like, you were like, this is a closet. This is where the vacuum is. Like, you know that place so well that you know where the vacuum is.
Yeah, the vacuum's blocking it.
And I'm like, are you telling me they put, like, the vacuum at the top of the stairs so that, like, you wouldn't see down?
That's weird.
Oh, the chills I got when reading that.
Like, they put, like, a
coat rack?
Closet hook.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they could hang, like, coats. And they're like, please don't look at this. That's what I imagine.
Yeah. Don't notice the stairs.
Yeah.
Okay, so... mind you, we have stayed there 2 years in a row. No clue there was a freaking basement. My aunt and I went down the very old stairs with no lights but our phones, since there were no light switches whatsoever.
Makes sense.
I actually think that that might make me feel better, because one of the things that I'm worried about is that someone is living there while I'm there and not telling me and milling about. So knowing that it's possibly not a place you could live in comfortably makes me feel a little bit better on one side. But on the other side, creepy murder basement, you know?
But they mentioned that there's no light switches.
Not that there were no lights.
They're hiding the stairs.
Like, they're hiding the light switches. They're there.
Yeah. I assumed it was just like an unfinished basement, not like subterfuge. So, Liz said, we got to the bottom of the stairs and had to run back up before going any further. The ground was dirt.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then in parentheses, had that John Wayne Gacy vibe, not gonna lie. And there was a chair that cemented into the ground in the corner.
Fuck.
I have chills. Also, I've mentioned it before when I get the weird tingles in the, like, the crown of my head.
Yeah.
I got that when I said that. Like, such bad vibes. Which, like,
yeah.
Why the fuck was there a chair cemented down in the corner? Like, I can think of no good reasons. Like, the only time I could think of that is, like, maybe you saw it wrong and it was actually a toilet. But I just feel like I trust that Liz knows the difference between a toilet and a chair.
Also, a random, like, toilet at the bottom of the basement. Not enclosed, nothing. Just one toilet, nothing else.
That's actually not so uncommon in an unfinished basement, because the idea is that you build the toilet out and then you can put walls in later.
That's weird.
Walls are easy, but when you're putting plumbing in or redoing a section of plumbing in your house, it's easier to just put a toilet in.
But it's dirt. So it's dirt in a toilet. No.
Yeah, it'll be like on a pedestal. I've seen it before. When we were looking at houses, I saw several like that. Now, was I comfortable? Abso-fucking-lutely not. But I understood why it was there. Like, there was a reason other than people are kept down here that I could think of. Okay, so
that's wrong.
Liz said only damn cement was to keep this chair down on the ground, so none of the other floors. So nothing on the floor was cement, just the cement for this chair. I was just waiting to find handcuffs or something around down there, but we ran back upstairs and forgot about our little adventure down the steps in order to enjoy Bigfoot hunting.
Oh no.
I love that for you, Liz, but the way I could not just let that go. Like, I'd be like, well, now we're in this basement investigating.
Yeah.
Also, just fun story, I went to insert hardware store and got one of those, like, hardware lights. You know what I mean? I'd be down there, like, that'd be the most well-lit place in the entire world. It'd be like a dentist office. Liz said, my phone worked 100% of the time we were there until we returned to the house that night. The Wi-Fi also decided to change its password, so I was pissed.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. I cannot sleep at night without having something to listen to, and there was no TV in my bedroom. So, okay, Airbnb house, cement chair basement that was kind of, like, hidden a bit, and now suddenly, comms are down. We don't like it. So, Liz said, I decided to sleep downstairs on the couch so that I could listen to something and make sure I slept, since there wasn't TV upstairs, remember? And Liz said, my aunt came down to get water, then we decided to watch some TV for a bit. Mom was already fast asleep. My aunt went to bed around midnight, and I cozied up to get some sleep, too. Around 3 a.m., I heard my mom get up and walk around. Old house, very creaky. It sounded like she went by my bed and then ran down the stairs.
Absolutely not.
Uh-huh. Could you imagine, like, you go into your adult child's room, they're not there? I would, like, also be like, don't like, where they go, especially if Liz came down after she went to bed. If you don't know where your child is, you're going to come running downstairs. So, like, they probably didn't know that Liz had come downstairs if they were already asleep. So they just go into their bedroom and see they're not there and panic.
And they're like, what the hell? Yeah, there's a weird, creepy basement.
Uh-huh, fair. Yeah, maybe it lured them down. So,
oh, no.
Liz said, my room was already packed. All the bedding was off. And I realized that it looked like that I had left in the middle of the night and figured she was probably panicking, looking for my car. Thump, 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 thump. Down the two flights of stairs and to my comfy little couch bed. I heard her sigh with relief when she saw me, and I was faced away from her and comfy, so I just let her think I was sleeping. She sat next to me.
Sorry.
I'm so fucked up because I know what's coming next.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, once you've read the story once and now you're here, you're like, ugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So her mom's like, she's like, my mom's relieved. So she sat next to me. I felt the couch give way a bit from her weight. She ran her fingers through my hair. It made my night. Liz was like, oh, I'm 40 and my mom is still a mom, you know, which, like, it does feel very good as, like, a grown adult when your mom is, like, momming very hard just for a moment, you know, so, like, I could get that.
Yeah.
So Liz says, I would have done the same thing with my 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And so Liz is like, I listened to her go back upstairs and then crashed. The next morning, I was up before everyone else and got my bed / couch put away with no sign of me ever sleeping there. My mom came downstairs and didn't say a thing, got her coffee, etc. My aunt came down and asked how I like sleeping on the couch. I said it was fine. And then my mom said, wait, you slept on the couch?
Oh, no.
I told her what happened, and she said she had no idea. And she never came down the stairs that night. Never sighed, never touched me, nothing. Oh my God. The way, I don't think I'd ever have a moment's peace in my brain again. Like, I would be so deeply unwell with this, like, idea of, like, maternally sweet moment with not who I thought I was engaging with. So.
Mm-hmm. Who or what?
Who or what? Human? Ghost? Other? Huh. Okay, so Bigfoot, that's what they're there for. So Liz said, about that time, my aunt was packing up the car and yelled for us to come over. The closet slash basement door was wide open. The vacuum was pushed to the side, and there were barefoot prints of sand on the stairs.
My back, just like...
I know. Chills, full body chills. And the last line of Liz's story is, I think I heard someone running up the stairs, not down from the bedroom.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it so much.
Well, Liz, I'm sorry, but excellent story. Thank you for sharing. Huh. Huh.
I need to know what Airbnb that is. Like,
I want to know what Airbnb. I want to know, like, obviously we're going to be reaching out.
I want to see the pictures. I want to scroll through the Airbnb. Like, I want to picture this better.
Well, it was a memorable trip.
Oh, no.
Like,
I feel like it, like, betrayed you, right? Like, you've stayed there before. It was great. And then you're just like, what the actual fuck now? Like, when we went to Kansas City, I was like, Lindsay, I stayed in this Airbnb last time. It was great, right?
Yeah.
We walk in. It was great. We didn't find any weird hidden stairs.
And you know what? Now that I think about it, knowing that you had stayed there, I didn't do my full check. I was like, Amanda.
We still did. We did a little look around.
We did a look around of, like, what's the amenities. But, like, Amanda, when I tell you that, like, I do a full search, I act like I'm executing a search warrant. Like, I'm looking for the weapons. You know what I mean? Like, I'm there. Like, I'm looking in cabinets. I'm, like, crawling up under. I'm looking everywhere. I was like, this is a nice place, and kind of, like, wandered around. I didn't do a full check because you had been there. So now I'm like, don't trust that even if someone's been there.
Yeah, I mean, we had stayed there with a bunch of people. The first time we stayed there was, like, with a ton of family. So we did do that check.
Okay, good.
But, I mean, there could have been a person in the closet, I guess. But I remember when we went to St. Augustine, too, and we found the weird, like, up cabinet. Like, it was so high up. And it was filled with, like, years worth of mail.
But there was a lot of mail there.
Like, years and years worth of mail in this one cabinet very high up. But this is a whole different level of...
Yeah, this is a whole new level of, like, well, I guess you're not going to stay there again. But I also, like, there's a part of me that's like, I want to rent it just to, like...
Set up cameras.
Just take a look-see. Thank you so much, Liz, for sharing.
Yeah, it was a good one.
This horrifying story.
So the next one we had sent in to us, their name is Alien Searcher. And she has a YouTube channel. It's called Alien Searcher's Paranormal Podcast. And she shares some stories and, like, some others from other people. So
I like it.
Yeah, it's fun. So what she sent is one of my major ones. When I was about 9 years old, my parents were caretakers of some property in Arizona known as Fig Springs, which has quite a history itself. Also, I'm in Arizona. I've never heard of that place. My mom and her friend Chris and I went up to the trailer that belonged to the people who owned the land to talk while the men, my dad, brother, and Chris's husband, stayed down the hill in our trailer talking. As we sat around the kitchen table talking by the lamplight, I started to get more and more of an uneasy feeling and kept feeling like there was someone behind me.
Uh-oh.
That never ends well.
Mm-mm.
After a while of glancing behind me, I got the strong impression, although not a flat-out image, of a man floating about 2 feet above the bed that was in the living room in a lying position.
Hmm.
It scared me enough that I said that I wanted to leave. My mom and Chris were very anxious to leave as well. I found out later that they were sensing something scary as well, but they didn't want to scare me, so they didn't say anything. That's bad news when, like, the kid's like, something's wrong, and the parents are like, we gotta go, or the adults in the situation, we have to leave.
I do like that everybody was in consensus of something's up. We have a feeling, and the kid's like, I don't think we should stay here, and you're like, sold, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Kids, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, when a little kid says something, like, they don't hold back usually, mm-hmm. right? Like, of course, sometimes there's weird monsters under the bed and things like that, but, like, when they have a really bad, uneasy feeling, I'm like, the kid knows.
Did you have an imaginary friend?
No, but my brother did. I think I talked about it in one of our Potiversary episodes.
We did. And we were like, was he a ghost? I say only because my imaginary friend, her brothers were Jack the Ripper and Dracula. Can you imagine talking to like a 4-year-old and they're like, Jack the Ripper's outside.
Ollie had something when he was a baby that he talked to. Like he would randomly look up and just start babbling like he would with us, but nothing would be there.
Hmm.
We called it Ceiling because it was very high up and he'd smile and laugh at it. It was his friend Ceiling.
I like that you didn't give it a person name because you were like, it's not anything. It's the ceiling. He's just a silly guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Every time when we had the baby monitor, that was like the biggest fear is like, I'm going to hear or see something through the baby monitor. Can he just never leave my side so I don't have to look at this thing?
Fair. Very, very fair.
All right. So back to Alien Searcher's story. By the time we got outside, it was dark out. As we made our way down the hill, we heard some clunking coming down the hill behind us, like something was chasing us, and we started to run.
No, no.
In the dark, like even where I am at night, there's some really super dark places, and especially like if this is a trailer area, I doubt that there's a lot of light, like in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely not. It's already terrifying.
Yeah.
There's creatures too. Okay. I don't know the time of year, but there's creatures. So near the bottom of the hill, I turned and looked behind me in the air and saw what I thought might have been a metal trash can and a piece of scrap metal, maybe about the size of a trash can. So like, I imagine like silvery something, right?
Yeah.
There was no wind, so nothing to explain why anything was in the air, especially like a trash can.
Yeah.
Right?
If you want to hear more about trash cans, listen to the end of the episode.
Perfect. We'll tangent about anything.
Honestly, set me loose. Set me loose.
Okay. So we were talking about what Alien Searcher thought was a trash can, perhaps, behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And there being no wind, so it didn't really make sense that something would be, like, falling down the hill. So she continues, I was completely frozen in place while these two objects went in a 3/4 circle around me. Chris saw me freeze and grabbed me and dragged me back to our trailer as we heard a loud explosion-like crash outside.
Huh. Huh.
It's getting weird. The explosion sounded like it came from across the road behind a rock shed, right where the two objects had been heading. So like they were on their way, they hear a big crash.
Yeah.
We locked the doors and we closed the windows and my mom would not let anyone look outside. I hate that for her.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Oof. I hate all of this.
Yeah. The next morning we discovered the metal trash can was actually what chased us down the hill. But the two pieces of metal that I thought were small were actually the trailer's porch cover having separated into two pieces. So like those are big. Those are.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like processing that.
If I'm thinking of a standard trailer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Each piece was made of 2x4s and sheet metal measuring approximately 15 feet by 20 feet each. How many 12-year-old boys is that, Lindsay?
Okay, Amanda, I want you to set a timer.
Okay. Hold on.
I'm not doing any mental math. I can't do that.
Okay.
Tell me when you start it.
All right. Timer, go.
Okay. Okay. That's 3.6 by 4.8 12-year-old boys. How long did that take?
That took 18 seconds.
That's the funniest thing we've ever done, in my opinion.
And if you're joining us for the first time today.
In our Lake Lanier episode, somebody measured something in, they're like, it was the size of a 12-year-old boy. And because we do love an odd unit of measurement, we have stuck with that and we will not let that bit die. So
no,
that's why we measure things in 12-year-old boys sometimes.
All the time.
And sometimes, I mean, every time there's a measurement.
Every time I'm like, oh, let me crack out my math because that's a skill I have. Lindsay, how tall is the average 12-year-old boy?
49.5 inches.
I love that that's just a fact she knows now.
Yeah, and like, mind you, this is like research that I've done years ago, so maybe that's changed, but 49.5 inches. And I will tell you, I can't remember what episode it was. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember. But at one point, I did the math of like how many 12-year-old boys standing on each other's shoulders.
Yes.
Like it would be, and I was like, okay, like what?
3.5, I think.
Yeah, and I had to, like, figure out, like, what the head-to-shoulder ratio was, right? Like, how much of their height was their, like, head-to-shoulder area.
Yeah.
So I could subtract that to have the accurate measurement, because we're nothing if not nerds for science.
What I'm thinking of is, you know, like, when you're around a new group of adults, for whatever reason, they're always like, share a fun fact or share something that no one knows. And, like, Lindsay's like, I can do 12-year-old boy math in 18 seconds.
I can guarantee you that is not the most interesting thing about me. But it is a fun fact. I just don't think, I think it would give the wrong impression.
Please use that back somewhere. One day I need you. Now that's going to come to mind first, though, if anyone ever asks you for a fun fact.
Like, if Amanda and I ever are in a video where they have to, like, put something on the bottom, like, you know, like how it's like, so-and-so, like, makes baskets.
If you're ever on the news,
yeah,
it's going to be like scrolling. Yes.
It's going to be like, for good reasons, by the way. I'm in the news for good reasons. But like, they'll like put someone's profession and they'll be like, 12-year-old boy mathematician. It won't make any sense. But there you go.
We'll know.
We'll know. And you'll know.
We'll know. Yeah.
Okay.
Tangent after tangent after tangent.
Let's get that one we're going to leave in, though, because it's, you know, that's proper. Yeah. We were talking about measurements. Yeah.
It made sense. It made sense. We needed to know the actual measurement of this sheet metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Just to, like, catch up with where we're at here, because this story, I think, is one of our strangest ones. They go into a place. Mom and friend are outside. They're, like, weird vibes. Kid goes inside. It's like, I have a feeling that someone is horizontally hovering. I don't like the vibes. Everyone agrees the vibes are bad. They leave. They go running down the hill. Something is possibly pursuing them that kind of looks like a trash can. And then we've got these pieces of metal kind of orbiting around Alien Searcher. And then they run inside. They hear a crash. And then they realize what the fuck it was.
Yes. So these objects weighed so much that the four adults working together couldn't lift even the smaller one up. Even if there had been wind, it wouldn't have lifted it up because these objects had been pulled off a well-bolted down porch roof.
So they're things that are, like, secure?
Secured.
So it couldn't have just been, like, flung off by wind. It would have had to have been, like, a serious weather event, presumably.
Yes. Serious? I mean, I don't even think, like, maybe a little piece or something, but, like, if it's all bolted together, I don't see it.
I'm like, tornado is kind of more my thinking. Like, it would have to be something.
Something wild. Yeah.
Quite serious that you would know was going on around you. You wouldn't be like, what's this? And other things would be affected, like you.
Yes. So weeks later, when in town, we told the story to someone who basically said, well, you do know the history of that trailer, right? Like, that never ends well.
Never.
We did not. So they explained that before the new owners bought it and moved it up there, a man who was running from the law hid in the trailer. There was a shootout, and he was shot to death near the back door. We laughed, figuring the person was making up a story to scare us, which, like, fair, like, that's a wild story.
Mm-hmm.
They insisted there was still bullet holes near the back door, but we would have noticed them when we were painting the porch about a month earlier. They still insisted, so when we got back, we checked, and we saw a few pieces of duct tape near the back door. Remembering having seen them before, we thought to look under them. Sure enough, there were three inward-facing bullet holes.
Yikes.
A firm rule was made from then on that none of us were to go in there after dark again.
That sounds like a solid plan.
It does. And, like, I looked up because I hadn't heard of where this was before. And it is, like, from my understanding, it looks like it's just middle of the desert, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. And it's remote, too.
Like, there's not much over there. Yeah. So, like, that's terrifying.
Yeah. It's also, like, it's one of those kind of paranormal events. It's like, it doesn't fit the mold of what you typically think. And when I think, like, massive things moving around and hurtling and just being generally intimidating, but not necessarily hurting you, it's like, ugh, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you, Alien Searcher. We appreciate your story. So next we have Ian and Jess, and we're going to just get right into theirs. They started off very sweetly and say, first off, just found your pod on Audible and have been binging because it's so good.
Thank you.
I'm currently on the episode called Blobs.
What an episode.
What an episode. We hope you've enjoyed it because that was a fun one to research and record. We love a weird, like, a weird themed episode.
Right? A weird happening.
Yeah. And they said the quote, main event quote, is about the Oaksville Blobs in Washington State. I happen to live just north of Oakville in a town called Montesano. And they went on to say, I've never heard of the blobs until this podcast, and it also predates when I lived in the area. However, this is where it gets strange. An evening in January 2022, my wife and I are driving from Montesano up to a town called Shelton. These are cities just north of Oakville. On our way there, we drove through what appeared to be a swarm of insects.
Oh, no.
No, thank you. No, thank you. At least that's what it resembled to me. There were no clouds, which is unusual because it does rain a lot here, but it was also very cold. This is an unusual occurrence given the many bodies of water and woods, etc. We arrived at our destination and went to bed for the evening. The next day, I was awoken by my wife yelling and screaming about our windshields being covered in these, quote, blobs.
Oh, no.
I know. And they said, I told her, yeah, remember we ran into that swarm of bugs? It's probably just bug guts. It's like if you've ever taken a road trip.
Yeah.
You've like looked at your car the next day when you've been in the car forever. And then you're like, ooh, that's gross.
Yeah.
So like, I could see why you would say that.
Yeah.
So they continue. So begrudgingly, I got out of bed and walked down and looked at our vehicles, which were absolutely covered in clear gelatinous bulbous clumps.
Oh, no. Just new car. Never mind.
10 out of 10 descriptions.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have never seen anything like it. It was as if somebody took a bottle of lube that a proctologist uses and squirted daubs of it all over our car. It almost sounds like jellyfish. It's like a good visual of it, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, jellyfish shouldn't be milling about, you know? So they continued. I chalked it up to the super weird weather that we have up here, sprayed off and washed our cars and went on with life until I ran into this podcast and it just made me think. An honor. An honor. The time frame is way off as far as the likelihood, and I have no idea, but everything we experience sounds very similar to the experiences of the Oakville blobs, with the exception of us getting sick. We didn't make contact because you don't touch the goddamn blob. That is absolutely right. Like, well, like a good lesson. Leave the blob alone, people. It could be some sort of weird bug or an interesting leaving from the substantial amount of military helicopters and aircrafts that fly overhead, which is very frequent. Anyway, I love the podcast. Keep them coming.
You experienced the blobs.
The blobs. This is our first like blob story. 10 out of 10. I'm so excited about the idea of like a real encounter of unidentified blobs.
Yes.
Like.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is unsettling. And to find out later.
Yeah. You're like, oh, wait, like, what was that?
Yeah.
I also like wonder, like, what would I do in this situation? Right. It's not like I have like a chemist friend that I could be like, could you test this? You know, or like, hey, can you like put this under your microscope and like see what this is? Like, I don't know what the fuck I would do with it. I'd be like, this is concerning.
I mean, just blob texture. I feel like I wouldn't want to touch it or anything anyways.
I know. I would not be touching it.
Yeah.
I would not be touching it. An excellent story. Thank you for sharing.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
If you have more blob stories, I'm intrigued. Let us know if you talk to friends or family or people who've lived in this area who are like, oh, yeah, that just happens sometimes.
I remember the blobs.
The blobs. Thank you, Ian and Jess.
So we have another story sent in by Allison, and she says, my dad passed away in 1990 when I was barely a teenager, and my mother and I have both discussed how we've seen him at various times in our dreams right before big events. However, I have a niece who's now 11. When she was an infant, toddler age, we would check the baby monitor, and she would be chatting away with someone. Biggest fear.
Mm.
We just assumed that she was talking to herself. Until one day, out of the blue, she asks about Grandpa Lewis. My dad would have been her Grandpa Lewis.
Oh,
that's sweet.
Yes.
We never talked about him around her, and as far as we knew, she didn't know his name. So how the heck does she know his name if she wasn't speaking to a ghost?
That's a good question.
Like, that's a sweet story, though.
Yeah.
He's just like, I had to meet her.
Well, it's also like, if you've seen him yourself at important moments in your life, mm-hmm. of course they would go introduce themselves. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I like it. I think it's sweet. The idea of like,
it is sweet.
Somebody you never got a chance to really meet, like having some sort of connection with you.
Yeah, I do like that. I mean, I'm still terrified of baby monitor things, but I do like this story.
Yeah.
Now, she sent us another story too, and this is another good one. I adopted my heart dog in 2006 from the SPCA. And for the 11 or so years I had her, she was like my right arm and went everywhere and did everything with me. I feel that.
Yeah.
She helped me foster dogs, and she was my road dog. When I had to make the decision to put her to sleep, I was devastated.
Completely fair.
I know. I'm like, oh, I can't even think of, like, I'm thinking of mine.
There's just no getting over it.
Yeah. Ever since she passed away, I'll be getting ready, and out of the corner of my eye, I think I see her looking at me, bored out of her mind. She was kind of judgy looking when I was putting on my makeup to go out. I get that so much. Like, why are you doing this? It's my time.
Yeah.
And I'll go to look at whatever I saw or think I saw, and it's no longer there. But I've also kept one of my sister's dogs. And one night at like 2 a.m., she wakes up out of a dead sleep and starts barking into the darkened living room, scaring me senseless. I'm still 100% convinced that she saw the spirit of my dog who passed away.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, the dog's just like checking in.
As like a big believer of like visiting energy and like being able to like kind of like check in on a loved one.
Yeah.
Without being stuck. Right.
Yes.
I find like these types of things like so profound. Right. Like I think that like when it comes to people connections, it's sometimes really hard to be like, it is this person. And I think that a lot of times people have a lot easier of a time doing that with animals.
Yeah.
So like Moo is my heart dog. I'm very fortunate that 2 years after being diagnosed with like terminal cancer, she's still kicking. Right. But like 2 years ago, I lost my heart cat, which was Harry, and like my baby, and like still miss him. Going through my surgery, I was like crying because I was like, I just want him here with me. Like he's like, you know, I was like, I know he would have been like my little guy. And like, I love the cats I have now, but like no one will be him.
It's different. It's a different thing.
Exactly. And the cats I have now, I feel like he introduced me to them because I was out back of my house. I was talking to my brother and it was right after we lost Harry. And
we were recording at one point during this.
Yes, because my brother called. He knows that on Thursdays we record, so he doesn't normally call and was like, hey, can I just grab something from you? And I'm like, yeah. So I head out back and I'm talking to him. While we're talking, a tuxedo kitten runs by. And it's the first time that I ended up seeing TT. And I've never met a more loving girl cat, but like she's my baby. Harry wanted to be with me all day while I worked. And that's how TT is.
She just threw herself into the keyboard a few minutes ago.
She did. She does it all day, which she's very sweet. But like sometimes I'm like, girl, I'm trying to like work on a spreadsheet. She's like,
yeah,
but what if I love me instead?
Yeah.
But it just very felt like he was like, oh, I'm going to introduce you to someone.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly think that.
Because what are the odds? Like there was no reason for me to be outside. Like just like the timing of it, like seeing he was a tuxedo kitten. So seeing a tuxedo kitten out in the world.
Yeah.
And like we didn't know it at the time, but like she was pregnant when we saw her. But yeah.
Yeah. And they had her baby had a similar baby face that Harry did. Like when you showed pictures side by side.
Yes. Yes. And we'll share those because I feel like that's just a good time. Who doesn't want to see a baby Harry and a baby Theo?
That is cute. When I lost mine a couple years ago. Like, I was like, I can't do dogs right now. Like, I still had one. I had a female dog, but it was like my boy dog. And Lindsay fed him a croissant, I think, right?
I did. He loved it.
He loved it. But one day I was just like, my best friend was in town, right? She had to go to a wedding. So I'm just like waiting for her to come back. And I got this feeling of like, I saw a rescue and I was like, I have to go to this rescue right now. Like, there's no reason. It is the worst time. I have a friend in town staying with us. Why the fuck do I need to go to this rescue? It's an hour away, but I had to go. Like, I had to. And I was like, we need to go right now. Everyone get ready. We have to. Like, I saw a dog. I want to go look at it. We go look at the dog. It said it was a male online. I wanted another male. It had been, like, almost a year. And we just, like, didn't form a connection. So I'm like, that's weird. I had to come right now, and we it didn't work.
Yeah, like, what's going on with my gut, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then I hear some barking in the back and I was like, are there more dogs back there? And she's like, we just got a couple in. They're reservation puppies. So like we just got them in. We just started their shots. They're slightly too young. But like if you want to go look at them and like Spectre, this little tiny, stupid little Roddy, what we thought mix, comes up and like crawls into my arms. And she's like, you know, like,
yeah,
they're only on shot one. We can't like interact or do anything else with them. But if you want to hold them, you can. He crawls up and lays his head and just like falls asleep, just wants to be held. And I was like, Mike, I need this dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the lady's like, he picked you. You can take him home today. Don't take him anywhere. You can foster to adopt until he's technically old enough, but he doesn't have a parent. So, like, it's okay to take him right now. I think he was like 7 weeks old-ish, somewhere in there. She was like, I saw that. You can take him home today. And so, yeah, I have this brand new puppy. I have a friend staying over. The house is chaotic. We had a bunch of plans because she's in town. And then I bring home a puppy that has like the biggest separation anxiety. He had to be in your arms. He will crawl into your skin if you'd let him.
Well, he's very different than Toby, right? Just like how TT's very different than Harry. Like
100% different.
They're different, but it was just like, you know, there's still going to be a pull.
It was a weird connection that I like, I can't explain.
Yeah.
Of course, I love every puppy. I want every puppy.
Yeah.
But this was different.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes I'll think he's behind me when I'm like playing a video game or researching or whatever. And I'll feel like a brush on my leg and I'll be like, oh, Speck needs to go out. Speck's not in here with me.
Yeah.
No dog is. And I'm like, is Toby saying hi? And then I probably need to go let Spectre out because he's insane.
Yeah.
But I love it. I love like heart dogs and their stories and when they come back to visit.
Yeah.
Because I 1000% know that that's what happened there.
I love it.
Thank you, Allison, for sending both stories.
Yes. Thank you, Allison. Okay. So our next story is from Joe. And he said, I grew up in a small town called 29 Palms in California. There was always a handful of urban legends that floated around, but one that was the most prevalent was that there was a group of devil worshippers that met in the hills on the edge of town.
I love this.
I know. I was like, one of the things that we were like, hey, give us stories, is we were like, tell us your regional lore.
Yeah.
They're just like, you're not going to know if you don't live there. So he said, you'd hear stories of a group of people hiking to a specific spot, carrying torches, and the little area would be lit up into the wee hours of the morning. No one ever said they knew who they were or that they had even went there when they camped out, but it was a constant little story that would pop up. I got to see them hiking to their spot one night, and it was every bit as creepy as the story said.
Oh, no.
Just a group of 10 to 15 people hiking the desert at dusk, lit by torches.
I feel like a bunch of people holding torches is never a good thing. I've watched Beauty and the Beast, okay?
Yeah. You're like, I know. I guess it's also kind of like, my thinking is like, I could see this happening a long time ago, sure. But like, nowadays, I'm like, you're going to start a fire. Like, don't carry a torch.
Why do you have a torch? Yeah, where's your phone?
Yeah, like, well, no, this was like, presumably much like decades ago.
Where's your flashlight?
Where's your flashlight, nerd?
Now I really want to walk around with a torch.
I don't trust me. I'm going to set everything on fire. So Joe continued, they disappeared around a valley twist and all you could see was a faint glow of something there. I always wanted to go there when they went, but never did. And like, what's interesting is because it sounds like ritualistic in some way. And it could be that it's just like, some harmless pagans doing their thing in the woods, right? Like, it could be that, but it could also be,
I was thinking like Cub Scouts or something.
Devil worshiper. Yeah. Like, it could be 1,000 different things.
Yeah.
And like, we just get this image of someone's doing something that involves fire and woods and not other people, that it's the devil. Uh-huh. And I think that it's like just so funny that we're like, it's the devil in the woods. And it's like, but is it?
Well, in my head, they have cloaks too.
Oh, I'm sorry. The cloaks were absolutely implied here.
Yeah. I feel like that's the beginning of a horror story. Like, you know, for generations, we've been told about these people. And one night I looked outside and I saw them and then I followed them. And then, you know, horror story.
One night, many years ago, I followed them into the woods. I watched them carry their torches from afar as I passed a car covered in gelatinous bulbous clumps. Curious, I scraped at the blobs with a lid to a trash can that had traveled to its resting place near the tire. I saw a man horizontally hovering, while I had the distinct feeling of a dog that I could not see brushing against my leg. Just then, the door handle to the abandoned car began to jingle. From deep in the woods, I could hear someone scream, "Shut up!" Terrified, I ran back to my favorite cemented-to-the-floor chair. I heard the faint echo of a television upstairs and saw a cozy figure tucked into the couch to go to sleep. To soothe myself, I quietly sat down beside them and stroked their hair.
Perfect. In my head, I think of, do you remember The Witches, the book?
I didn't read that book, no. I didn't, no, honestly, okay. I didn't read for fun until I was like in my 20s.
Oh, well, I read it with my kid recently. And you know, like the kid is following witches mm-hmm. and gets, you know, hijinks ensue. But I feel like it's like that situation. Like if he would have followed them, they would have known like there's someone here.
Yeah. There would have been hijinks for sure-sies.
But
yeah.
I love it. That sounds crazy. And I'm from California. I hadn't heard of any of this. So I think I even messaged and I was like, I didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it.
I love it. So thank you, Joe.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I really want to figure out what they're doing. I want to go to there and figure it out. Yeah. Solve the mystery.
We've got so many mysteries to solve. I feel like this is our most, I think that we're going to title this like the most mysterious Podiversary, fifth Podiversary episode.
Yeah.
I think so.
So we have two more stories mm-hmm. sent by the same person. And this is from Christina. And she's also the one that we talked about in our Four Peaks episode.
Mm-hmm.
So she has two stories. The first one she labeled Witch at the End of the Drive. So Witch is on the Brain.
I love that they gave a title. Love that. We don't always get a title.
I know. I know. We don't. She's very organized. She's the most organized person I know.
Perfect.
Do you ever have a home that you moved out of and you still think about often? Mine was a place that I lived when I was little. This happened maybe when I was 10 or 11 years old. It's late at night. I'm laying in bed, cozy, trying to fall asleep, and I hear cackling.
Mm.
Not silly laughter, possibly coming from a neighbor, but straight up cackling.
Oh, it was actually me.
Lindsay was the neighbor. The kind you hear and know right away, yep, that's a witch outside. Maybe she lived where Joe's talking about.
I mean, read that next sentence, Amanda. Read that next sentence.
I know, I know. That's why it came to mind. So we lived in a house at the end of a drive in rural California. My parents were gone on date night, so we had a babysitter. Everything shitty always happens when the parents are gone.
Yeah.
I went running out of my room, shook, told my babysitter, who was convinced that it was just some kids playing a trick. I still remember it, and I don't think it was a person walking down the street cackling.
I just feel like that's a very specific trick, right? Like, hey, do y'all want to go, like, to the house and laugh outside real ominously?
Yeah.
That's a bad prank.
that's weird. I included some screenshots of the property. Our neighbors were not close enough to hear anything going on in their homes. The green square is where my bedroom would have been. The purple hat is where the sound came from. Orange is the property line. See, again, most organized person there is. I'll show you it because she messaged it to me.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'll also, this is already on our Instagram, Facebook, SharePoint. I said SharePoint. I'm in business
mode.
Yeah,
I was like,
no.
Oh, SharePoint now. Please don't make me do a SharePoint.
Oh, I hate it. It's on all our social media.
Yeah. The house in general was a weird house. My brother and I are 100% convinced that the barn was haunted. It's the building at the bottom of the first image, sandwiched between the trees.
You know, when you said sandwiched between the trees, do you know what I thought of?
A sandwich?
I thought of the Enfield monster that he shot when it was standing between those two maple trees with a bush. And he was like, just vibing. And he was like, fuck this thing. And was like, bow, bow, bow. That's what it made me think of. I don't know.
Perfect. Love it.
You're welcome.
So yeah, it looks like there's not a lot out there. Like you'd have a lot of space.
Mm-hmm. If that was like, if the barn was haunted, that would have to be a very loud cackle to be able to hear it inside, right?
I think so.
Like it's not far, but it's not like super far, but it's like sound is like it carries, but not that well.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hmm. Interesting.
All right, so she has another story, and this is from the old Gila jail, which I've been to. I think I've talked about it briefly before. It's the first time I ever used an ovilus, and it was insane. It kept saying the same name.
You definitely did talk about it.
Yeah, every time I went by a certain cell. So interesting. It's a weird place. So the most active location I've ever investigated as a paranormal investigator is the old Gila jail in Globe, Arizona. Built in the early 1900s, it has housed some notorious criminals in its heydays. When I investigated the jail in 2023, the group I was with, we were wrapping up for the night and we were in the TV room, which we were using as station command. That's fair. We even did that in our last one. You need like a command center. As we're wrapping up, we hear the door handle in the corner rattle. Not a quick rattle with like a draft, but a rattle rattle, as if someone was messing with the doorknob and trying to get in.
That always fucks me up. Mm-hmm. There's something about being on the other side of a door and watching the door shake and you're like,
yikes.
Yeah.
Now this is the best part. Luckily, we were able to get footage of the moment and captured our reactions.
Oh, no.
Later, when I was reviewing one of the other cameras from the same investigation that I had set up in a hallway upstairs, you can hear the REM pod going off. And if you have ever heard a REM pod beeping nonstop, you know just how annoying it can be. True story. It's so loud. So the REM pod is going off and you can hear a low, breathy woman's voice say, shut up. And then the REM pod stops beeping. Rude ghost.
Yep.
I also, again, from that same investigation, had a different camera set up in a jail cell that moved or turned during the course of the night. So they're like, do not record me, and like slowly moved it.
Mm-hmm. It's like, no pictures. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. And then earlier this year, when I went with my friend Ashley, we were talking on a little footbridge, which connects the jail with the courthouse next to it. And a pebble was thrown at me.
Oh,
they're wild. I didn't have any of this, but it's very active. So definitely the most haunted location I have ever been to. I think it would be a great place to investigate for you and Lindsay the next time you have an Arizona investigation.
I'm intrigued. I don't want to have rocks, small or large, thrown at me, but I am intrigued about an active spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the video itself, she did send it to us. You can hear the rattle and you can see everyone jolt at the same time in a way that seems very genuine.
Right. All three of them. There's no way. And like Christina wouldn't like take something out like that. She's a good investigator.
Yeah.
That's wild. We just watched the video for the first time together.
Yeah.
And yeah, they looked like, what the fuck? And then she shared the shut up too. It's very, very low, but you do hear something.
Mm-hmm.
We'll share these on our social media as well, so you may have already seen them.
Thank you, Christina, for sharing your stories. For everyone who submitted a story, if you haven't sent your address, send us an email so that we can send you a thank you sticker. We have our fun one that is just for this year, which I like doing. Mm-hmm. To our Patreons that are Fire, Yeti, and Up, your fall card will be coming soon, so keep an eye out. We're quite excited about it.
Yes, it's awesome. It's awesome this year. I love it so much.
And this year, Christina was the one, like, she actually designed and made it this year, which was really cool. We were really excited. And there's some hand-painted touches that you'll see on there.
Yes, she did a phenomenal job, and she has a business. So on the back, I told her, please put it there. Like, people need to follow this because she's so talented.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much to everyone who listens, shares, reviews, supports, and interacts with us in any way. We love you so much, and we appreciate you creeping with us for 5 fucking years.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. We love you all.
Yes, we do. And we mentioned it earlier, but there's a whole bunch in the after credits about podcasting our bloopers, because there's so many.
What'd you call them? Bloopers?
Bloopers. Bloopers. After the end credits, probably more stuff too.
Possible trash cans. We'll see.
Popple trash. Who knows what you'll see? And then at some point, I'm going to send you Baby Harry and Theo. It might not be before the episode's out, but we love you. Thank you so much.
They're cuties. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
And with that, have a great weekend.
Thanks for creeping with us for 5 whole years.
Woo-hoo! Thanks for listening, and as always, a special thank you to our patrons who support us via Patreon.
Please see the link in our show notes to learn more about how you, yes you, can begin to haunt the dump, guard vortexes, or even become a scorching Sasquatch.
Ooh. Also in our show notes, you can find the link to our website, more information on our sources, our social media handles, and our merch store.
We'd love for you to keep creeping with us. So if you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, and share the show with your fellow creeps and or ghosts.
I beg of you. One day, we saw somebody, like, we were watching some video about a dog that Amanda sent me, and she was like, but listen to their audio, because they bump into their mic.
Yes.
And you can't hear it. And I was like, what is that? So then I was watching all these videos from this person, like zooming in when they showed the mic. Such a little stalker. Like, I messaged them. They didn't answer because they're like a person who's like big and famous. And I was like, but I just need to know what that is. Please, please.
I just need to know where I could be speaking and a dog could like bite my mic and it'll be okay. What can I do to do that?
Yeah, I want to bite my mic. Yeah, yeah.
One day they'll get back to us.
Yeah. And, you know, we say listener stories, but also our most unhinged episode of the year, I think, where, look.
Oh, yeah.
Baby, you're here for tangents.
Nonsense everywhere.
We're here all day, all night, baby.
So if you have a mic where a puppy can, like,
bite it,
lick it and bite it while you're talking and you don't hear the puppy sounds.
Yeah.
We want
to
know.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to hear my puppy sounds. I'm not talking about me. I just mean me existing. You know what I mean?
I know. We sit there and go through, like,
oh,
if you hear us open our mouth or we breathe or we deem the breath too much.
Like,
we're like, this breath is fine, but this one is not.
If you just want to test how much you love yourself, record hours of audio and listen to yourself. Really just ruminate in new insecurities that you didn't know you had and learn about the vocal tics you have. You think you hear me say, right? Like, a lot? No, you don't. Not nearly as many times as I actually say them. They'll stay here today because this is our realest, most unhinged episode, our podiversary.
Yeah, yeah.
But anywho, let's get to
not breaths.
But not, no.
Not loud breaths. No. Little breaths are fine.
So like, okay, we're allowed to be like, but we're not allowed to be like, right? When, if I can see it on my audio where it looks like a candy. Yeah.
Too much.
Too much. Too much.
Too much.
If I can see it in audio and I know what it is, no. Unless it's a laugh, then it's okay.
Certain laughs. Sometimes I'm like,
yes.
Why did I sound like that? Do I sound like that?
Oh my gosh. I love that this is the moment that I figured out that Amanda's been editing her laughs. Meanwhile, I have the most unhinged laugh at all times. I'm like, that's how I sound when I laugh. You're welcome. Like, if you didn't like it, you wouldn't be here, or you're at least okay enough to avoid it sometimes. You know, I'm not laughing all the time.
Oh no, you want some behind the scenes? Sometimes where I'm like, why did I laugh like that? Like, that's not even a human laugh. I'll take it and I'll grab another laugh from another and I'll move it.
You did unlock a new insecurity. I didn't know you did that. The only time that I am like, I repeat a laugh is if Amanda says something genuinely funny. And okay, so we have an outline. We always have an outline, but we don't, like, there's parts where we read, but most of the time we're, like, summarizing as we go. Today we're obviously going to be reading it because we're reading someone's stories, but, like, we're not reading it word for word. We're kind of, like, we're, like...
And we also can't read.
Oh, no. We definitely can't read. You've heard the blurber... Perfect. Perfect.
The blurbers.
Best timing ever. But, like, I couldn't create that comedic timing. It was just natural, you know? But, like... We'll just be reading a sentence and all of a sudden I stop being able to say a word. That's just, I just can't say it anymore. Or like somehow I always give Amanda just words that we've never pronounced before, which,
or different languages, which is always fun.
Or different languages where, you know, our mouths just aren't used to making those sounds. And without fail, I somehow always give those to Amanda. And like, she's like, come the fuck on. And you know, one of us inevitably, if we have a hard time saying a word, by the way, many times they're English words, right? Many times. Sometimes it's just like there's a phrase I just can't get out. And so the other one of us will say it, but like we'll be reading something super serious. So it's like we cannot be laughing.
Oh, yeah.
And like there's times when we'll have to re-record something over and over again because like we can't take ourselves that seriously. Cause like, I'm like, oh, I can't say the word tombstone today. Like, I'm like, Trumpstrom. Like every time it comes out, yeah, it comes out wrong. And I'm like, Lindsay, get yourself together. You're a professional.
After five years. You have them say words and read.
The best,
but, you know,
the best part of that was me literally touching the mic and moving it mid-word. Like I didn't know better.
I've learned when I put my hand on my mouse that my desk vibrates a little and it comes up through the mic arm.
That's exhausting.
And so anytime I go to like scroll down or do something from our outlines, mm-hmm. I'm having to take that out because apparently I just like throw my arm as hard as I can on my desk.
Well, it's also like there's times when you don't even realize that you've hit the mic and you've said a statement. It's like, okay, well, we can't edit it out. Am I going to re-record this whole sentence for one word? No, I'm not. Sometimes I am. It depends on how much I don't like myself that day.
Yeah. There's been times where I have to re-record a sentence and I'm like, okay, I said it like this and I'll I'll record it again and I'll put it in the episode. I'm like, this doesn't even sound like I'm the same human. Like, I need to re-record it again for like the fourth time. And then I'll finally be like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, it makes no sense. It's going to sound like I am talking on my cell phone for some reason instead of my mic. And it's going to be like that.
And like, I think that one of the most interesting things is that we mention it in an episode that's coming out later this month. That there's times when we're going to have to add stuff later into the episode. When Amanda and I record solo.
Oh, we're different people.
Hello and welcome to Two Creeps. Today we're going to be telling you about, right? Like, I'm reading myself. I can be very serious.
Yeah, because we're not looking at each other. And like,
it's not a conversation.
If you mess up, you have to look me in these eyes.
And also, like, one of my particular, like, brands of humor is if you say a word wrong, I'm going to repeat it back immediately. I don't, look, I don't mean to be that way, but I am a little roasty in my love. It's, I don't even think. It just, like, brain to mouth, like, right on out. And so, if I love you, that's kind of a thing that I just automatically do. And so, like, Amanda does it, I'm like, rah, rah, rah. And then she's laughing, then I'm laughing, and then I can't stop laughing because then she'll start again. Ever the professional. And in my head, I hear it and then I start laughing again. She's like, fucking damn it. She has to restart, you know. So that's why, you know, you might get a 45-minute episode that was 2 hours to record because.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we suck.
No, not because we suck.
One day. Next year.
No.
Next year.
I think that.
Reading's really hard for us.
Like, I say this, I do think that we should put this after the credits of like podcast fucking fuck. Key example.
It's just happening so much today already.
So real. I'm so tired. But like, podcast talk for realsies. That's our bloopers. I fucking hit the mic again. That's our bloopers to today is just like real talk with podcasting. But like, I think that
how to be a podcaster,
it is like you and I are having a conversation. We're talking about like, here's the thing we researched together. Here's the thing we've looked at. Like, what do we think about it? Like, let's basically record that and put that out there. And that's kind of always what I want True Creeps to be. I don't ever want to be like so polished and professional that it sounds like you're listening to someone necessarily like give a talk. I want it to sound like, you know, people are literally creeping with us. I want it to feel like they're here. And I think that is, I don't know. I think that's the cool part about this is it's like we're chatting with our friends.
That's what makes it really fun is I mean, we look forward to like chatting, and a lot of the time we'll chat for like 2 hours before we record, and then randomly like halfway through the recording we're like, oh, I forgot to tell you about this, and then it's recorded and we're like, can other people hear that? No. Yeah
sometimes
you're
it'll
part
stay
of it now.
Yeah, it used to happen more in our episodes because we would start recording and we wouldn't chat first.
Oh, year one.
Oh, year one was a hard year for editing. Like, we would have like a 3-hour recording because we'd start with our topic. And then every once in a while, I'll be like, oh, my God, I meant to tell you this. That would keep happening throughout. So we had to have like chat time first, because otherwise we would just be like, I need to fill you in on my life since we recorded last. Because Amanda and I chat throughout the week, but we're not having like phone conversations. But like, we're on.
And when we do, they're also like 2 hours.
Yeah. But like, we're on video and we do this. So it's like, oh, this is our time to catch up for the week. So we like catch up for the week and then we do this. And we realize very early on, we got to do our chat time first, or this is going to be a really hard edit.
Or if we start late, we're like, hey, we just need to start because.
We'll never fit. Yeah.
Like, it's late and we need to go to bed.
Yeah. We get to a certain point where I'm like, I have work in the morning. We need to stop this at a reasonable hour. So it'll be like, it's 8:24 when we're talking about this. We have not begun saying our episode.
Mm-mm.
No.
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 No. But we also started recording.
We met at 5.
What time was it? My time? So yeah. Like 3 hours
But we
ago?
Already did
three
one
and
episode.
And a half hours ago. And yeah, we chatted.
And chatted. Shared life stories.
We're doing good.
Yeah. I gave you, I was going to say uterus updates, but there's no uterus. I gave you Labubu updates, which is what I named my cyst that had hair, but apparently did not have teeth, which I am upset about because I wanted it to have teeth.
You're upset.
They were telling me, though, that they've had a patient where they had part of a jaw. And I was like, at that point, that's a creature. That's not like a teratoma or a dermoid. Like,
Vance Hardware will write about it.
Vance Hardware will write a blog about it and be haunted forever. Then a podcast will talk about it and never let anyone forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, yeah, that. Little Boo-Boo does not have teeth, which was very sad for me, but that's okay.
Like, we do get really bad storms here, but like, I feel like she would have mentioned that there was a monsoon or something happening.
Mm-hmm.
We have lost our trash can several times. It went flying away.
No one tells you in adulthood how expensive trash cans are.
Oh, no, our big one, like the city trash can.
Amanda, what do you mean the city trash can?
They come to our house and get the big trash can every week.
Do they give you that trash can, though?
You you pay a fee with, I think, your water bill, I want to say. Yeah. Like, they replace it when it melts in the summer sometimes. Like, ours have cracked from melting.
Ours are just like $80.
Like, once?
Yeah. But that just feels like a lot. Lowe's outdoor trash can. Because now I'm doubting how much the outdoor one, because they're so expensive. Yeah. No, the one that we have is $95.
Oh, yeah. We pay because like you can pay for an additional trash can. Like if you have a really big family and you need two, it's weird. But yeah, we sometimes monsoons or like haboobs or whatever will come out of nowhere. And so if it's like trash day, you know that everything's going to be fucked because the entire block will be lined with like runaway trash cans and garbage.
I live on like right next to a really big hill. So if you live on that street, you've got to come get your trash can like immediately if it's at all windy because she's going to travel. Like she'll go down the hill. She'll go. I found my brother's trash can in like a shopping plaza near our house because that's how far it blew. And I was like, is this yours?
We have a water feature behind mm-hmm. our house and like it curves kind of to the left of our house.
Mm-hmm.
And so years ago, this was a new block. There was no like gate or anything to the water. And that was one of our fears is that our trash can was going to end up in the lake.
Yeah. And I would imagine if you're renting it, if it disappears, they make you pay for it. And then you have to continue to rent another one. Or are they like, no worries if it goes away?
Yeah, I don't know if that's the right verbiage. I think it's just like a city fee.
Are you leasing it?
they give it to you.
Lease to own trash can?
Like when you sell the house, you leave them. Like it's the city's. I don't know. It's weird. I didn't know that it was different anywhere. Like I know like some parts of Phoenix, they have alleys with like giant garbage cans that they share with their neighbors. That's a thing too. It's weird.
I've seen like dumpsters, but not like, yeah, no, we have to buy our trash cans.
Yeah. Like my mom has a giant garbage can that's like almost like a little shorter than me, but like gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
And she shares it with like two of her neighbors and they just put their trash out behind their house. Everywhere's different here. It's a weird, it's fucking chaos. Like you said, it's Mad Max here.
It is Mad Max there. I'd also say, I think that we have talked about enough about trash cans, though, by the way, to move this out of the episode.
Absolutely not.
But like, no. I was just saying to move it out of episode proper, because I will tell you that while I was in law school, one of the things that I did was I worked for the city of, and I did a lot of research into how they dealt with trash between different jurisdictions, because some jurisdictions would pick up trash for others and they had never figured out how to pay each other and like the way that things were taxed. And it is quite interesting, the intricacies of like municipal waste and like how there has to be infrastructure built out very intensely for trash removal, because when it's not handled well or there's problems, it becomes such a big problem so fast.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm a nerd. Municipal trash. Fascinating.